When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Thanks for choosing this free Anfield Index podcast. If you'd prefer to listen to this or any of our other shows without adverts, then now's the time to check out Anfield Index Pro. With AI Pro, you can supercharge your entire listening experience. You'll not only get all of our podcasts without the ads, but you'll have them far faster with our quick publish feature available exclusively for subscribers. AI Pro also puts you in the heart of our sound studio, with an option to listen to many of our shows live and interact with the podcasters in real time as the shows are recording. Upgrading couldn't be easier. AI Pro is available on all popular podcast platforms, and we have our own apps for Apple and Android. Just head on over to AnfieldIndexPro.com and get started today.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Scouser Tommy's on Anfield Index. We haven't done one for a while. What happened? We went away, didn't do Scouser Tommy's for a couple of weeks, and like the season went to pot. But maybe it's not completely to pot now. Let's see. I mean, when we last did a podcast, it was definitely in our own hands, and now it's not in our own hands. But you know, you don't give up hope till the end, I suppose. And in a way, I'm glad we didn't do podcasts in some ways, because I did do Raw. Let's face it, there hasn't been a lot of football we've wanted to talk about this last couple of weeks, has there? But I think that changed. We won on Sunday. We're recording this on Monday. We lost to Palace a week ago, but yesterday we went and won a game against Fulham. Stalling them. My brain's just gone. All these London teams you see, they all begin to sound the same after a bit. They're all just like thorns in our side. It's not been great this year, Liverpool playing in London, usually because the referees come along and spoiled it. But we actually got away with it this time. We didn't have a referee. Actually, to be fair, the referees seemed quite decent. They didn't like him, but he seemed quite decent. But I'm, as always, with Jay Reid today. And, well, Jay, I mean, let's sort of go back then to when we last did do a show, and we were kind of, I think, looking ahead to the Man United game. And that game, we knew, you know, all the old cliches, form goes out the window and all the rest of it. We knew it wasn't going to be necessarily that easy a game. And he was frustrating the way it ended. But it seemed to kind of... He seemed to kind of cause a little mini implosion in our season, didn't it? Because we dropped the points there. We just fell apart against Atalanta, and then we couldn't even get a point against Palace at home. It just feels like, I don't know, it just feels like our confidence went, you know, we just got hit in the face. We finally realised that, you know, maybe we were just pretenders to where we were in the league. I don't know. It's difficult to know how the season's going to unfold now, but at least the pressure's not on for us. But yeah, I mean, let's just go back to that United game. What do you remember about it? Do you remember it being as bad as it feels all this time ago? To me, the problem with that game was we played quite well. We had so much control, but we just took it for granted that we were going to win without remembering that you've actually got to do the bit where you put the ball in the back of the net enough times to, you know, and keep the door shut at the other end. It's, you know, a couple of mistakes maybe, yeah, but we just didn't have it in us to do our thing where we just react and score goals when we concede stupid ones.
Yeah, it was kind of weird in the way that, like, had we not read the script, what, like, 3 weeks before when we played them in the cup, which was a bit of an eye-opener in terms of, obviously, you know, it was the nail in the quadruple coffin quite early on in terms of, you know, we didn't even manage to get past, what was that, the quarter-final stage and in the FA Cup. And you know, the dreams were dashed there of the quadruple, but you know, let's all be honest, we tried for a quadruple a couple of years ago, we know how hard it is. You know, even Man City can't even buy themselves a quadruple, they can only buy themselves a treble, which kind of shows how hard it is. But I think, you know, if we're all honest with ourselves, we've not played well for a while, like, and that's not like just a couple of weeks in reflection to, you know, a few results that we've had over the last, you know, half a dozen games or whatever. You know, if we went back through our actual fixture list, you know, barring, you know, the the European games against Sparta Prague, which were pretty much a walkover, you know, and a solid performance against Man City, where arguably we could have come out with a victory given, as you've mentioned, the referee decision. You look back through our actual, you know, results, and we've not really produced a good performance since like mid-February. You know, where we had a little run of Burnley, Brentford and Luton, where, you know, 3-1, 4-1, 4-1 respectively. And since then, we've seen to have really hit the buffers, and the United game sort of knocked the stuffing out of us in the cup in terms of the manner of the defeat, and obviously who the defeat was to, and we spoke about that. And then we did say, you know, the league game was not a revenge mission as such, but, you know, it was a sort of chance to right the wrongs of that FA Cup and sort of, you know, go there with a slightly stronger team and, you know, put a performance on, you know, worthy of our league positions, of where they're represented on the table in terms of where we are and where United currently are. And I think we did take it for granted, and we squandered many opportunities. And as the game was going on, obviously we were 1-0 up. You had that feeling that, like, we were here 3 or 4 weeks ago and we squandered opportunities. We give United a chance, and when they get the tails up, and as much as people can mock, you know, the Old Trafford faithful, when you get, you know, 70,000 behind you, no matter who you are, there is going to be some sort of reaction and feel, and we sort of just crumbled to it again. And it did feel as though that was a massive sucker punch to us, and we've never actually recovered, but we've carried on in the not stale performances. I'd say, like, we kind of look like we're out of ideas as much as we're out of gas mentally and physically, and the emotions as well seem to have just, like, all come to a grinding halt. And, you know, I fortunately didn't go to the Atalanta game at home, and, you know, kind of was a blessing in disguise. But then you kind of think, well, you know, we were so bad on that night that, you know, it can't get any worse. And, you know, you look ahead to Palace, and you think, you know, it's an opportunity to sort of go out there and make amends. And, you know, yes, we may have dropped a couple of points against United, but, you know, we were still sort of in control of our own destiny. And as much as United was a sucker punch, then that was a big slap in the face of the wet fish that we just didn't recover from. And again, lackluster in front of goal, sort of clueless ideas. And again, you know, whiffing through the games here, but even last midweek against Atalanta, you think we got the perfect start, 1-0 up, and we'd never really truly hammered home our advantage and our, you know, football superiority. And, you know, there was times last week, I think, got to about the 75th minute, and we're trying the same tactics, you know, and you just sort of had a sense of inevitability that we're never going to do this. And, you know, the weekend was sort of looking that way at times. Or maybe there's a chink in the armour there, and the fact that we sort of changed so many players, and we sort of had a little bit of a better approach in the second half. And, you know, maybe, as you said before, the pressure is now off in terms of the title is not in our own hands, in our own destiny, because of, you know, results have unfortunately gone against us in the games I've mentioned. But we can now only control our own destiny as far as winning the rest of the games and giving ourselves a shot and giving ourselves, you know, the right to send Klopp away with a successful end to the season, whether that be, you know, 6 wins on the spin and we end up without the big one, or it's 6 wins on the spin and we end up with the big one, you know, so be it. What will be, and people will point to certain games as to why we did or didn't win the league. But I think, you know, I listened to yourself and Dave on Raw with Trev, and listened to a few other podcasts over the last, like, week or so, and it is now the dawning reality that we're literally out of 1 hand's worth of games with the Jürgen Klopp left in charge, and we owe it to him to put a performance in on the pitch and also off the pitch, and just try and give this man, you know, as solid a good send off as we possibly can. And we will see where the chips lie, you know, come May the 19th, whether that's a trophy or not. But I think what we've got to do now is just rally ourselves together and worry about ourselves and not worry about anybody else.
Yeah, I agree. And we've got loads to talk about on the show today. So just a quick reminder as well that if you want to listen to us beyond half an hour and you're on the free side of things, then you just need to please, you know, have a think about it, whether you'd like to subscribe to Anfield Index Pro. Go to anfieldindexpro.com if you would like to have a go at subscribing. It's less than the price of a cup of coffee. It's not a lot to pay, I don't think. And it really helps us keep things going on this side and keep us producing this content for you, where I would say everyone on this channel, we might all have our own views, our own opinions, our own feelings about what's right and wrong and what the club should and shouldn't do, and whether we should put everything into League Cups or only play Premier League games as our priorities. All of this stuff, all of these arguments and debates that we have, everyone on here who talks about that as a Liverpool fan. There's no sort of ulterior motive. There's no trying to sort of twist things against and put Liverpool, you know, playing mind games with Liverpool or anything like that. You know, so all the other sources out there that aren't Liverpool-based, you might think they're not biased, but I do sometimes wonder in some cases whether they're a little bit against us. Is it not nicer to be in a community with people who support the same team as you? And that's another thing on Discord. There's loads of chat. Maybe we'll get onto some of that later too, about some of the topics that's been going on there. Not in all the detail, but if you do subscribe to Anfield Index Pro, you get the access to stuff on Discord that's also worth doing, as well as your podcast. You can have a sly look on Discord when you can't have your headphones in at work or something, maybe. So as I say, if you want to keep listening after the half hour, go and have a look at anfieldindexpro.com. One of the things we're going to talk about soon as well is the derby, of course, but I think just looking over those games, like as you've just said, the point I was making in Raw, it was kind of what I thought before yesterday's game, and I was thinking, you know, I'm going into that game myself with a mindset of, right, we've had some hiccups, we can do all we want about blaming whoever it was, and let's face it, if we're being honest, if we really want to say where Liverpool have dropped points this season, let's go to the PGMOL, but regardless of how we got there, that's where we were at the start of the game. And I just thought, look, we can't win the league all by ourselves. We need someone else to kind of slip up. We need someone to do us a favour. We need something to go in our favour that we can't directly influence. So it might be that we give everything and it counts for nothing, but it doesn't count for nothing. And I think that's the thing. We have only got limited number of minutes left with Jurgen Klopp as our manager. We've got, you know, we saw the fist pumps last night. We've seen you know, all the stuff that goes on with him before a game, after a game, all the fun that we've had with him. It was all kind of fresh in my mind because I've just been writing an article for Red All Over the Land as well. And I was kind of thinking back to that first press conference and when he promised us sort of that he'd win the league. I can remember being in there and thinking, my God, this is the man for us. This is the right manager. Finally, we've got the right man. And I'm worried about what's going to happen next. But there's no point worrying about that now. That's a bridge we can cross later. We've got nothing to do with who comes in anyway. What we can do now, though, is just take each game as it comes and get on the, you know, on the right side of that and put your support in the players, put your support in the manager. Obviously, there's players not playing as well as they could, and there's no point hating on them because I don't think any one of them is really not putting an effort in. I think they just sometimes, I don't know, I think sometimes they just need a little slap around the face, a gentle slap, and say, oi, get back to this world. And I don't know if that was sort of, in a way, some of the thinking yesterday with the starting lineup, because one of the big names left on the bench was Mo Salah. Now, you know, any time since Salah was here, if you said, oh, I think it's right that we should, I think it actually makes sense to drop Salah. He's not been playing great of late. He doesn't, you know, he's not worthy of a automatic starting place now. You'd be mad, you know, you think someone had gone mad, but I genuinely think since, you know, since the year he's had, the season he's had with the injury and being away for the African Nations and all the rest of it, he's not been the same player since he came back. For whatever reason, I doubt it's down to him not really putting the effort in. But I think he needs something to kind of get him back on track. And whether that's a rest because he's not fully fit, or whether that's just sort of being put on the bench to kind of be told you're not an automatic star anymore, you've got to give everything when you're on there. I think it was worthwhile, and I think it paid off yesterday as well with the lads who did start. Because I think, you know, I feel we did look a lot more hungry in front of goal.
Yeah, and I think myself in the, I've got to take this opportunity to praise Cody Gakpo, because yeah, we've been overly vocal, but we've been openly honest, and which is what we are at Anfield Index. You know, we're openly honest. We're not agendas towards any one thing or another. We say it as we see it, and, you know, let's be honest, Ian, Cody Gakpo was putting in lacklustre performances in a few games on the run, and it kind of looked like he weren't too interested in, you know, in the last few weeks alone, when things have not been looking too great, and he's been coming off the bench, and at the weekend he gets a start. You know, he's actually looked like he's one of the ones who actually does care. I don't know whether he's sort of morphed this little facial hair that he's grown, and it's sort of, you know, grew some hair on his testicles, and he's sort of more, well, I'm going to get my bollocks out and have a go here, because
I can revert to Samson and all that with his strength.
Yes, someone's got to have a go, sort of. And credit to him, you know, he's actually looked like really, you know, bothered and threatening, and that's the Cody Gakpo that we were sort of, you know, seeing clips of and thinking, well, this is what we're in for here, and this is what we're going to get. And you know, you reference Mo Salah, and it's kind of like a flip reverse of what actually has gone on with Gakpo, in terms of as Gakpo's sort of starting to show a bit of metal and desire and want to carry this team to games and victories, that Mo Salah just seems off it. And it's very odd to see Mo Salah like this for a sustained period. Maybe, you know, the odd moments in a game he could have a miss, or, you know, if he's come back from a very rare injury, which he's had with us.
Hello there. Have you ever found yourself getting ready to watch the Liverpool match? You've got your mates round, you've got your drinks, you've got your snacks, you're all set to go. It's going to be a good day. And then you find out, oh, the game's not actually being broadcast in your region. Does the heartbreak, there's rage, there's despair, there's fury, you're upset, you're looking for a solution. Well, we've teamed up with NordVPN to bring you a game-changing solution. That's right. With NordVPN, you can switch your virtual location to a country where the game's on live. It's like having a global ticket to sports, TV shows, and movies from all around the world. And here's the best part. If you go to nordvpn.com/Anfield Index, you'll score the best discount on your NordVPN plan. Plus, our link gives you 4 extra months free on the 2-year plan. And that's what we call a winning streak. And if you're sitting there and you're thinking, what if it's not for me? What if I don't like it? What if I'm not getting the use of it? Don't worry about it. There's a 30-day money-back guarantee, so it's totally risk-free. I've been using NordVPN to catch all the Liverpool matches and TV shows that I'd normally miss out on. It's totally transformed both my weekends and my TV watching. And not only that, not only does it give me access to stuff from all around the world with the click of a button, it keeps all my data safe. It means that the miscreants, the ne'er-do-wells, what my grandmother would have called scallywags, who lurk on the internet to try and steal your information, can't get your information. NordVPN keeps it safe for you. So don't let geo-restrictions bent you this season. Visit nordvpn.com/Anfield Index and make sure that you're in the game, no matter when or where it's being played. Remember, it's not just sports. It's your all-access pass to binge-worthy TV shows and blockbuster movies from all around the globe. NordVPN literally unlocks the world for you and keeps you safe from the world. So don't miss out. Head over to nordvpn.com/Anfield Index and let the fun and games begin.
You know, the first game back, he can look a bit rusty, but, you know, he's soon, you know, back on fine form. But something seems a little bit amiss, and, you know, the speculation is mounting. And I think, genuinely, like, in the last couple of weeks, there's been conversations between myself and probably many of the Liverpool fans, I think, Is this the end of Mo Salah? And, you know, it's not something that anyone, you know, 4 or 5 months ago would have actually contemplated the conversation about, really. Is this the end of Mo Salah Liverpool? But, you know, the reality might be that his age, you know, his profile, the potential value on the table, versus the potential cost of a new contract with said age and whatever, and given the structure that we've now reinforced at the club, and with Michael Edwards and Richard Hughes, we sort of have an idea of how Edwards works anyway and operates. And you know, possibly there's an opportunity there to extract maximum value for the player who, you know, in 12 months' time will either be out of contract with us and have zero value, or should we sign him to another contract, potentially not worth the value that we could extract this summer. So it's a genuine conversation. It's a strange one to have, but, you know, as you bring it back to what you said about being on the bench, then he was right to be on the bench, and as was, you know, a few players, you know, Darwin Núñez included, and, you know, not many other people are bigger fans as Darwin Núñez and what he offers us, as I am. But, you know, genuinely, in front of goal lately, he's been poor. And, you know, Jota yesterday, his all-round play was poor, but when given the opportunity, yes, he fluffed one in the first half, but then second half doesn't make a clean contact, but it ends up in the back of the net, and goals are the currency that strikers operate in, and he's the most clinical finisher. I don't care what Jurgen Klopp was saying last week where he said Salah was the most clinical. I think, let's be honest, it's Jota, and I think yourself, you mentioned, you know, the man himself, Robbie Fowler, in the same breath as Jota, and it genuinely is the closest comparison in terms of, you know, he's a poacher. You know, at any time he's in and around a penalty area, you kind of feel as though, you know, your chances of scoring are at a significantly increased rate because he's on the field. And but what it does do is, you know, it gives a nod to the ones who were left out yesterday, and that's not just including those who are in the forward line. You know, you can look all across the team, and, you know, possibly positions such as, you know, Kwanzaa versus Kanate is a fitness thing, but, you know, Kwanzaa did nothing wrong in the game yesterday, and, you know, if we were in a more healthier position for centre-backs, then you could be looking at that and saying, well, you know, but Kwanzaa maybe keeps the shirt, for example. Unfortunately, you know, other positions like right-back, where we brought Alexander-Arnold back, but then we lost Bradley, and, you know, Gomez has sort of filled in here and there, you know, you can have a long debate on that one, but, you know, there's positions all over the field where there's competition, and I would like to hopefully think that, you know, as we record now, a couple of days out from the derby, there might actually be, you know, a conversation had where those players who started versus Fulham, who were maybe given opportunities, might actually keep the shirt, because it shouldn't be just a given that those who were left out come straight back in, because those lads who did come in for Fulham got us a victory, which is what we've not had in the last few weeks.
Yeah, and it's I think that was another thing about getting that win as well. It was I think there's a lot of good to be said from it. I think, yeah, okay, we're not going to fix the problem we've had all season, which is that to win games we don't, I mean, I've not counted how many clean sheets we've got, but let's face it, if you've been putting a tenner on every Liverpool game that we get a clean sheet, you're definitely not going to be in profit now, nowhere near. So It's not been our thing to have clean sheets this season, but what we've had and what's been good this season is, and in a way I feel it sort of fits into that one big quality that I've loved about Jurgen Klopp, about, you know, things happen in football, things go wrong, and it can be for any kind of reason. It can be your own fault or somebody else's, bad luck, whatever. But they've happened, and there's nothing you can do now to go back and change them. But what you can do instead, so don't dwell on it for the next half an hour, the next 10 minutes, whatever's left. Go and do something about it now. Go and do something new. You can't change that. You can't get that goal back. You can't, you know, you can't get the goal you missed. You can't have that rewarded later. What you can do is you can use the time that's left, react and go get some goals. And I've just loved the way we've managed to do that this season. What I haven't loved is the amount of times we've had to do that this season. And that's what happened again on Sunday. You know, we conceded a goal, it was just like, I don't know, we just go off the boil. I mean, sometimes we kind of take 20 minutes to get going in a game, sometimes we'll just sort of drift out of a game, maybe the last 10 minutes before half time, and you think, God, I wish it was half time, then Jurgen could just give him a good telling off. And I think I said it on Raw, I was pleased in some ways that if we were going to concede, at least it was just before half time, because then there's a chance to go in the dressing room and sort it out and have words and work out what you're going to do and let the players know what you're going to do now that you've just conceded and given away your lead. You just don't feel comfortable watching Liverpool unless they've got at least a 2-goal lead. And what came into my head is that game we both watched on the Kop, the Fulham game at home, which ended up 4-3, and the way we just kept coming back, which was great. But at the same time, you know, from the defensive point of view, you want to be having words with him and saying, how do you just keep leaking so many? But that's not going to be fixed under Klopp. There's not enough time for that left. And in all honesty, I'd rather have had a season of 4-3s than a season of 1-0s, as long as there were a lot of wins for us. I'd much rather see loads of goals than us winning and winning by one goal than just us scraping goals and getting loads of clean sheets. You know, as it happened, we wouldn't have won the Golden Glove anyway because we've pretty much used two goalkeepers evenly all season. And I think what's left now is...
Hello, I'm here to annoy you. I'm here to annoy you into listening to more of me and more of others on EPL Index. We don't just have the Anfield Index stuff. We've got EPL Index as well, which covers the entirety of the Premier League. And we have three podcasts and a whole bunch of really good writing on EPLindex.com. The podcasts are my own two-footed podcast, which is every day at 4 p.m., Monday through Friday, covering the whole league. We have A Tad Predictable, hosted by Tadiwa. You know Tadiwa, he does Anfield Index. He presents A Tad Predictable before every Premier League match week. And then Kevin DeVries and his crew on the EPL Roundtable, they're every week after the Premier League match week. So make sure you listen to everything we're doing on EPL Index and follow us there on Twitter at EPL Index. Thank you. Bye-bye.
A load of games, a load of players, and we're not going to kind of know what Jurgen Klopp's first choice 11 is now, because all through this season, he's not really had the ability to just go out there and go, right, everyone's fit, here's my team. All through the season, he's had to rest players because there's so many games being played and he knows that he can't push them too far, or literally just not had anyone fit. But yesterday, the bench, it was the strongest it's been all season. And I feel for all the kids, all the young lads who've been coming through this season and have really served us well. They just weren't involved because there was just so many first choice players on the bench. But that bodes well for what's left. I mean, it's out of our control. It's out of our hands. What happens next it's only up to us in terms of what we can get. We don't know what the other sides are going to do. I quite like the fact as well that City have now sort of got a game in hand in a way, because I don't think psychology works on them. I think they've paid for that to not work on them as well. but if it is ever going to work, I think sometimes just seeing that the league table and that you are behind, it kind of puts more pressure on. And I feel like we played yesterday like we'd had the pressure lifted off us. We can still go out and win games. We can still show how good we are. There's a load of players there who need to impress, because either they're going to be going in the summer and they need to sort of get someone to notice them, or they're going to be hoping not to go in the summer and they want whoever comes in next as boss to light them. I just think having that pressure took off has made the difference. I think one thing we've not got the City have is we've not got that. We've not got loads of experience as a whole squad of dealing with loads and loads of pressure, and that, I don't think that helped us in the last couple of weeks. And I think yesterday it felt like, certainly second half, that we were enjoying our football again.
Yeah, I think there was as much as the drivel that you hear on Sky Sports, you know, with Neville and Carragher and Aaron there, like there was a comment from Peter Drury, which was, you know, a cricket analogy using the scoreboard pressure, you know, and we've got the runs on the board. You know, and we've sort of, if we do the business in the derby, you know, it puts us 4 points ahead of City, and yes, they will have two games in hand, and one of them is playing straight away on Thursday. But we've done our business, you know, the points are in the bank, and it's over to you, City, can you do it? And if we're all honest with ourselves, we expect them to do it. You know, like, we don't expect them to drop a point, and I think, amongst conversations I was having yesterday when the team was leaked, which is it's becoming a very frequent thing lately, and I'm not a fan of that. You know, I don't like to see the team leaked, especially first thing in the morning, like 6-7 hours before the game. Like, maybe, you know, if the team drops, you know, 2 hours before the game, and you think, well, you know, somehow that's got out because, you know, it potentially could, but 7 hours, 8 hours before the game, that's not right. In some cases, in the last few weeks, it's been the night before, and we've seen a team which isn't on. And if we're getting the leaks, then, you know, certainly opposition teams can find out who they are and potentially tinker their teams and tactics. But, you know, there was a feeling amongst, you know, say several people I was speaking to, was it was sort of a free hit in a way yesterday that, yes, it was, you know, boom or bust on the season in terms of if we won, you know, we carry on and the dream is sort of still alive. But had we have lost, given the Arsenal victory the day before at Wolves, you know, it all would have effectively secured our chances of the title being zero. But yes, it was a pressure-free, to a sense, game and a free hit in terms of, you know, players coming in who have not featured so much lately or from the start. And then, you know, you just wanted to see something different than what we've seen over the last few weeks. And we did. We saw, you know, at times, yes, it was a bit slow and, you know, it looked a little bit like the Atalanta game in terms of build-up and sort of possession-based football, which I don't think we're sort of that good at. You know, it's okay having it, but it sort of becomes a little bit meaningless and pointless, and you need to threaten and show a bit more intent, and we did do that in the second half. And the fourth, a lot of the players improved in the second half. You know, markedly the midfield three who started the game were much better in the second half, and as I said earlier on, Jota didn't have his best game by far, but when given the opportunity, he puts it away. And we mentioned Gakpo and Diaz was lively, even though he was in a position we're not usually accustomed to seeing. And I agreed with what you said on Raw in terms of, like, you know, you didn't really feel panicked. Mm. You know, you did sort of feel as though, yes, we've given Fulham opportunities, but he didn't really seem to be taking them up and he didn't trouble us too much. And I think had the game have continued, you know, at a level feeling, and we had the opportunity to bring those subs off the bench, and okay, they squandered chances, but I did feel as though we would have seized the opportunity and eventually rolled out winners in the game. And yes, that could be, you know, the pressure thing that's actually what we've got, and possibly even the fact that we're now away from home for the next, well, couple of games at least. You know, we had Fulham at the weekend, we've got the derby, as we said, on Wednesday. Yes, it's in essence it's home, and the fact that it's based in the city, so we ain't got to travel and stuff. But we've still got to go, you know, to that field. It's probably the best way of putting it.
Just a field. And there's a couple of sheds around it.
Yeah. And then, you know, we've got to go to West Ham at the weekend. So possibly the pressure of everything that's, you know, built up over the last few weeks, and, you know, going to Old Trafford is intense and whatever, and, you know, the European tie didn't go right and the Palace game didn't go right at Anfield and in both them games. Maybe it's not to say that the Anfield crowd is too, you know, hostile in terms of what they put on the players, but maybe it's the fact that, you know, you go into someone else's backyard, so, you know, it can be a sort of, well, we'll just take it at our own pace and we'll just do our own business. We got to impress, you know, 95% of the audience here. We just need to impress the travelling cop who, as again, you mentioned, were in fire fettle yesterday. You know, we've just got to make sure those people who paid their hard earned cash to travel, you know, to some of these nice stadiums, some of the not so nice stadiums in the country, and give a good account of ourselves. And by the time we next play at Anfield, which is, you know, a week Sunday against Tottenham, you know, we will have had a couple more games in the league under our belts, and who knows where the situation may lie then. Or it could just be what we've actually needed is to get the pressure of everything that's built up just off our shoulders and just try and play some football. And maybe yesterday was the start of a little six-game mini-season where, as I said before, we can just send Klopp out on a high. Whatever may come at the end, we will see. But we just need to put this man on his way with six victories, I think, is the best thing we can do now to end this year.
Yeah, 100%. And, you know, imagine what it's going to be like at Anfield on the last day if we've gone into it with win after win after win after win. It's such a shame, though, that I see things when we play like yesterday, and over the course of the season, when we've had, you know, when we've won games and thought, oh my God, we got away with it, or when we've won games and thought, oh my God, we just wiped the floor with them, you still see things and you sort of, getting to this point in the season, you think, you know, there's so much for the manager to work with next season. There's so much that we're getting right, so much for the coaching staff to go away and work on. I mean, there's a lot of good ideas that aren't quite executed right. And
hey guys, it's Eddie Gibbs from Anfield Index here. I hope you're enjoying this podcast, and I'm sorry to call time on the show before it ends. In the current climate, it's tougher than ever before to offer podcasts for free. At Anfield Index, we produce over 75 free shows every month, which I'm confident is unparalleled in the LFC sphere. Whilst we'd love to offer everything for free, the production costs now make this impossible. That said, we don't want to follow the model of other channels and lock all of our content behind a paywall. So what we've decided to do is to continue offering every show for free, but cut that offering to 30 minutes on our longer shows. So to get all of our shows in full and enjoy the best of everything we have to offer, we really hope you'll consider supporting the channel and signing up at AnfieldIndexPro.com. For about the price of one cup of coffee, you'll get every podcast in full with zero ads. You'll also get access to our LFC VIP community, where you can enjoy live podcasts, engage with our podcasters, and chat with other Reds in real time. So that website again, AnfieldIndexPro.com. Join today.
Sports Social Podcast Network.